Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I can see by your face, John, that you don't quite have it. You recognize it, but you're not sure.
Not yet.
It's the music from Jag. Because we have the governor of the great state of Florida is on the line with us, a former member of the Navy Reserves, a former JAG officer. Of course, he worked with SEAL teams real closely. But Governor Ron DeSantis, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, it's great to be here. I know you guys just had the Blue Angels, big show, and I know that's a treat.
Absolutely. I didn't know if you loved JAG or not, or if, you know, that was even a show you watched. I just figured that that would be fun music that maybe not very many people.
You know, it's interesting. Not really, but that's pretty catchy music and stuff. And so it's interesting. You know, my kids are football fans, second grade, first grade, and pre-K, and so they're big Florida State fans, which has not been for us this season. But I've gotten them excited about the Army-Navy game. I've tried to explain to them, and so they're learning, like, anchors away and everything, and so it'll be interesting to see. I've never gone to the Army-Navy game. I was actually on the board of the Naval Academy before I became governor, and I just never made it. I always had things that came up, so I'm going to try to get that done at some point. I know we got a lot of great Florida midshipmen that are up there from Florida, so we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. Oh, that's so cool. And, there will be better years ahead for FSU football for sure. So obviously we wanted to have you on to talk about some of these amendments. You have been on a statewide push to cover particularly Amendments 3 and Amendments 4. And we've had other, you know, members of your administration, you know, Ricky Dixon was on, and we had your one of your senior advisors on last week to talk about Amendment 3. We'll get to that one. I wanted to start with Amendment 4, though, just because I haven't had anybody on from your administration talk about this. Somebody out there hears about Amendment 4 and they think, I just don't think the government should be restricting mine or my friends or my child's access to abortion down to 6 weeks. This would do what, and why are you opposed to it?
Well, one, this is being funded by far left groups out of state, and foreign money has come into this. And so this is Soros. This is all the organs of the left trying to make their imprint on Florida. So the way I tell people is this is an amendment to the Constitution. If you're 100% sure, unless you're 100% sure this is going to be good, you vote no, because you can't unring the bell. You can't fix a constitutional amendment through ordinary legislation. And so I think the default has got to be no. They got to prove to you why this is something good. And first of all, they didn't define any of the terms. If you read the amendment, you don't know what any of the terms mean. They could have defined them like they do, like people typically do in these amendments. They chose not to. What does it mean in terms of protections for unborn? No protections allowed whatsoever, basically. They say any elective abortions through viability, which they would define at 26 weeks. So you could have 6 months in. Perfectly healthy baby, heartbeat, can feel pain. And those abortions at that point are dismemberment abortions, very painful for the unborn child, which ultimately that should matter if you're causing harm to somebody else. But then there's a loophole that would basically allow elective abortions all the way till the moment of birth, like in Colorado, like in California. And people sometimes say, well, those don't happen. They do happen. There's tens of thousands of late-term abortions that happen in the United States every year. The majority of them, by far, are elective. In other words, they're not medical reasons to be able to do. Second, they talk about a health care provider. If you read the language, that's very important, because there's people that aren't pro-life that say, look, you know, they don't support protections for the unborn. They think the mother and the doctor should make the decision. This amendment would say a health care provider could green light a late term abortion. And so obviously there's a whole host of people that would qualify to be health care providers that are not medical doctors. So you would end up having some of these abortion clinics being quarterbacked by non-physicians. And that's going to be very, very dangerous and really crazy that you would put that. But that was a deliberate choice that they made, because they'll make more money this way. This is an industry, after all. And then it eliminates parental consent. consent for minors. So in Florida, they can't give your kid a Tylenol without you consenting, but somehow this, which is something that's much more momentous, they could do have a non-physician green light a late-term abortion without a parent consenting. And what they're doing is they're doing a bait and switch. They're saying, oh, you can have parental notification. But notifying the parent something's happening is not the same as the parent consenting. So that's a repeal of rights for parents. And then the final thing is just this industry, when things like this pass, like they did in Michigan, they will go into court, try to find a liberal judge, and they will sue to be able to have taxpayers funding these abortions, which is just totally unacceptable. So if you're voting for Amendment 4, just understand, you're not voting to just tweak an underlying law in Florida. You are voting to impose a very radical regime, but to impose that for all time to where people wouldn't be able, you know, the legislature wouldn't be able to go in and reinstitute parental consent. So it's a horribly written amendment, and these are people from out of state that really don't have Florida's best interests at heart.
You know, one of the things I said about this amendment was that if they had simply gone for 20 weeks or 24 weeks or something like that with no other flaws, the ones that you laid out, I think they probably could have won with a pretty sizable majority. I think it would have had a much better chance of passing. I'm terrified that this one might pass, but all of the things that you noted, all of the little changes in words that make big changes in legal standing are the main flaws in this. And I love, one of the things I've been trying to tell my audience the same thing that you said, which is constitutional amendments should get voted no on unless you're absolutely sure that it's right, it's written right, it has to be done in the Constitution, and you're willing to take the chance that it can never be changed or revoked because that's what constitutional amendments do. I think that's the right analysis across the board. We're talking to Governor DeSantis. Everybody says it DeSantis. I know you say DeSantis. I try to say the way you say, but I don't always succeed. We'll be back with him in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling on I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29 exit, you're going to see about a five-minute delay through that construction zone. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Does that ever bother you, Governor DeSantis, that people say DeSantis instead of DeSantis?
No, that honestly is the normal pronunciation. It's just, you know, when I'm like people like will look me up online or go to my website, they will spell it D-I or D-A with that pronunciation. And so I just got in a habit of when I'm giving out my information, you know, that I try to say it the way it's spelled. But DeSantis is basically the way that it's typically said.
I never knew that. So, OK, so you yeah. did that. You say it wrong on purpose so people can spell it right. That's so fascinating. All right. So we know the flaws with Amendment 4 and why you're opposed to that one. Let's talk for a second about Amendment 3 with marijuana. This similar kinds of problems. If you just read the ballot summary, it looks very straightforward. We want to let people use, you know, marijuana on their own and keep the jails from being clogged up. But the actual language of the bill is fundamentally different from just that, right?
So, again, how did this amendment get here? Okay, it didn't just grow on a tree. This amendment was written by the CEO of a mega weed corporation. They have poured $141 million and counting into this effort of corporate funds. They would not do that unless they were trying to get a payoff on the back end. And so this amendment is drafted in a way for them to maximize their profit. So, and it's not about your freedom, and it's not about good policy for Florida. So, for example, you'd have the freedom, quote unquote, to possess and use marijuana, but only if you buy it from them. They do not give you the right to grow your own. They also don't limit public consumption of marijuana. So if you're a Floridian who, most Floridians don't care if people are smoking marijuana in their homes or anything, but they want to be able to walk down the street, be in restaurants, all this stuff without having this clouding up everything like it does in Denver and all these other places. And so you have a situation where that freedom is going to be infringed upon. And so I think that freedom should be respected. But one of the giveaways of how this is just a corporate takeover attempt, and you will not get this if you read the ballot summary. You actually have to read the text of the amendment. And if you read the text of the amendment, they give themselves total immunity from civil liability at all aspects of business operations. And so if they sell you defective weed, you can't sue them. If they have a traffic accident with one of their weed trucks, you can't sue them. I've never seen that type of immunity put in to an amendment or certainly even in statute. And again, this is in the Constitution, so you would not be able to fix that by legislation. And you hear people say, oh, yeah, Amendment 3, it's flawed, but the legislature fix it. No, they won't fix it, and they can't right. fix it because of the way this is structured. But then you also have the arguments that they're making in favor of it. They say, well, people shouldn't be in prison for smoking marijuana. There's nobody in Florida's prison system for use of marijuana or possession of personal amounts. And they also say this is going to be a boon for education and all these other things. There's nothing in the amendment that gives assent to education or law enforcement or anything. That's just totally fabricated. And the experience in Colorado was that they actually have not ended up raising money over the long term. I think maybe initially they raised some, but what happens is when you regulate and tax, it raises the price. And so the black market ends up getting bigger. That's what happened in Colorado. It's what happened in California. That is absolutely what would happen in the state of Florida. So it's a horribly written amendment. So even if you're for weed, this is not the way to do it in the Constitution, basically to service one company. If you're indifferent to weed, this is going to cause big problems for Florida's quality of life. And if you're against weed, obviously, you know, you would want to vote no.
I did want to ask you a question that has come up in sort of media critiques of you on this, because you're obviously using state resources of various kinds to advocate against Amendments 3 and Amendments 4. And the critique has been that the governor shouldn't be putting his finger on the scale, shouldn't be using state resources to oppose or favor an amendment one way or the other. What would you say to those folks?
Well, first of all, I think a lot of what they're saying is false. The ads that are up against Amendment 3 saying vote no on 3 or vote no on 4, those are not paid for by taxpayer funds. Those are all privately raised donations. And understand, the other two sides on 3 and 4, they've spent over $250 million trying to change Florida's constitution. We've been able to raise some money, not even close to that much. And I just think that's important to be. Now, we also do things traditionally, things like public service announcements. So our Department of Transportation has a budget to run ads every year, and we have been running them, letting people know about driving while high, what that does in terms of increased accidents, insurance premiums, all that. But that is all money that is funded and that we would traditionally do. Now, we can do it in different things, but because this is an issue, but those are not ads that are advocating against Amendment 3. They're public service announcements. Same thing with amendment abortion. They are running ads, the pro Amendment 4 people, saying, talking about rape, talking about ectopic pregnancies, miscarriages, all this stuff. None of that is impacted by Florida law. So they're putting out really brazen lies that I think puts people in jeopardy. I mean, if somebody is pregnant and has a miscarriage and they're being told by these liberal groups that you are not allowed to get medical care in the state of Florida, I mean, that is outrageous. And so there have been a lot of public service announcements just saying what Florida law is and talking about what resources are available for expectant mothers, talking about the exceptions, talking about how not only a physician has a right to treat, but has a duty to treat, and they'd be committing malpractice if they weren't. So that's totally appropriate. I think that people, you know, unfortunately think lying is a good thing, and that was the least that we could have done to do. But all the commercials that are saying vote no on these things, you know, those are all privately funded, but everything we've done has been 100% appropriate.
Yeah, and given especially on Amendment 4, the number of lies that have been told about what current Florida law is, because it's actually very reasonable, the current Florida law. I appreciate those. That makes sense. I mean, the governor, just like the president, has the opportunity to use his bully pulpit and certainly to stand up to clarify what existing law is.
Think about it. You know, we've worked hard. Florida is like, you know, just think of all the stuff we've accomplished. You know, we have people pouring in here, which I'm not necessarily advocating for because it gets crowded. But I mean, Dick, we are attracting people to vote with their feet because we've had success. Education, crime, all across the board, you name it, we've done it. So why, as governor, would I want to put in 5.5 years of my life, I'll do another 2.5, you know, as governor, why would I want to have work hard to do the best I can and then to have us become California through the back door with these interests pouring in $250 million to change our constitution? I think both amendments are bad. They're horribly written. They're being put by people with an agenda. But I think it's also critical that if these pass, then you've basically just told somebody, you don't have to win an election in Florida for governor. You don't have to win state legislative races. All you got to do is flush $125, $130, $150 million into trying to put your agenda in Florida's constitution. That's why I think they're both going to fail, because I think Floridians look at this and say, well, wait a minute. You know, all these people are like the Amendment 4 money, some of that's foreign money. 1630 fund is funded by a Swiss billionaire. They've put in, I think, $15-16 million. All the money on the Amendment 3 is one company has done 95% of it. They've done over $141 million. Trulieve, is that the way we want our society and our constitutional system to work? No, of course not. So not only do I have a right to be involved in this, I have a duty. This is, I was born and raised here. My kids, I have young kids, they're going to grow up here. And I want Florida to be the best that it can be. And these amendments would not do that. It would be, they would both be harmful for the state. And I'm not putting my finger in the wind. I don't know. Yeah, I think they're both going to fail. But when we started, they both were relatively popular, right?
Right. And that was my finger in my wind. Original concern. Yeah,
I'm going to lead, and we're going to get the job done. And I think people are going to be pleased at how these turn out tomorrow night.
Well, Governor Ron DeSantis, thank you so much for the time. Personally, thank you so much for what you did, especially during COVID, leading Florida through that in an extremely effective way. I appreciate it. And tell your kids there's better years ahead for FSU. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
From your lips to God's ears. Thanks, brother. See ya.
You bet. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. No accidents. One just popped up right now on Avalon in San Pablo Street. Roadway is clear, but we're starting to see some delays if you're heading toward I-10 via Avalon. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Florida Senate candidate Don Gates will fight for us.
Because Florida is a free state and Florida is a low tax state. But for many people, Florida is also becoming an unaffordable state. In many markets, availability of housing has declined while housing costs have increased a lot. The price of energy at the gas pump and the electric meter, it's a hardship for many families. And property insurance, if you can get it, is doubling, even tripling, even when homeowners and business owners don't have recent claims or any claims at all. I'm running for the Florida Senate because I'm ready to tackle those tough issues for senior citizens, for small businesses, and for the folks who work every day to make our state exceptional. I'll fight for a free Florida and a low tax Florida and an affordable Florida.
Paid by Don Gates, Republican for State Senate.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Learning how to deal with criticism is a major part of life for every person. The 26th President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, helped shed some light on dealing with critics when he said the following, and I quote, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, who, at best, knows in the end the triumph of great achievement, and who, at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with the cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." Ladies and gentlemen, critics come and go, but I encourage you to continue to dare greatly.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Carissa Burgosh is running for school board to make sure our children aren't harassed or bullied. A lifelong educator, Carissa knows the number one issue affecting education is a lack of discipline. When the Florida governor appointed Carissa to the school board during an emergency vacancy years ago, she ensured that bullying and fighting were not tolerated, and our schools were much better then. Choose proven leadership. She's from here and will remain here.
I'm Carissa Burgosh, running for school board, District 4, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Carissa Burgosh.
Thank you.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Tomorrow is the general election. Be sure to tune in to News Radio 92.3 tomorrow night for full election coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Very nice. Wawa wooa.
Good morning, 7:29, almost 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The U.S. Secret Service is taking steps to enhance security ahead of the election tomorrow. Workers were seen reinforcing the fencing at the White House and the Naval Observatory yesterday. They say there's no specific threat. They're just making preparations for Election Day and any possible aftermath. They're also making some security enhancements at the Palm Beach Convention Center. That's where former President Trump will be holding his election night watch party.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Our monthly check-in with Ryan Jenkins, our farmer, comes up next after the news.
I'm CJ Papa. People in line, Raleigh, North Carolina, waiting for former President Trump's final stop in that battleground state.
For me, Donald Trump, other than Ronald Reagan, is the only politician in my lifetime who has said what he was going to do and did that.
Trump also visits Pennsylvania and Michigan today. Vice President Harris begins today in Scranton, Pennsylvania, knocking on doors with canvassers and volunteers.
Vice President Kamala Harris really is going to be hitting all these rallies, telling people, urging people to show up to vote tomorrow because the majority of the vote is still out there here in Pennsylvania.
Fox's Brian Yennison, Allentown Harris makes multiple stops in Pennsylvania, including Philadelphia tonight. And legendary music producer Quincy Jones dying at the age of 91. He produced Michael Jackson's Thriller, also worked with Frank Sinatra. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got mostly cloudy skies, 72 degrees in Pensacola. Officials are looking for a vehicle that was involved in a hit and run that killed a pedestrian last night. That happened on Fairfield Drive at Matthew Lane. FHP says the pedestrian was walking a bicycle in the inside lane when a sedan hit him. The driver involved fled the scene. If you have any information, contact the Florida Highway Patrol or you can call Crime Stoppers. The Blue Angels homecoming air show drew a huge crowd to NAS Pensacola Friday and Saturday. Both the Blue Angels and the Air Force Thunderbirds took to the skies part of that show.
You know, the sound, the vibrations and everything. I just love it. It's just
the F-16s, I mean, and F-18s together. It's just nothing specifically, just their talent and the way they fly.
And those reactions from two out-of-state visitors who talked with Channel 3 following Saturday's show. And despite heavy traffic to get in and out of the NAS before and after those shows, they say it was worth it to see the F-16s and the F-18s in the sky. On Friday, the air show drew a crowd of over 120,000. For Saturday's show, they drew a crowd of more than 180,000 people. Well, more than half of the eligible voters in our area have already cast their ballots. More than 278,000 people have voted already across Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Okaloosa counties. More than 112,000 people voted here in Escambia County and 82,000 in Santa Rosa County. Early voting ended on Saturday. Now, if you haven't voted yet, you'll have to go to the polling location for your specific district tomorrow. You can find those locations online, EscambiaVotes.gov for Escambia County, VoteSantaRosa.gov for Santa Rosa County. If you're driving around Pensacola, you may notice a few new murals. Five of those were painted for the third annual Mural Festival that ran from October 19th throughout the weekend. You can see paintings along the Barrancas Corridor between Garden and Main Streets. Senator Marco Rubio defended former President Trump on Face the Nation over the weekend.
In an interview on CBS Face the Nation, the Miami Republican downplayed the joke told by comedian Tony Hinchcliffe that Puerto Rico was garbage.
And a comedian made a joke and it was tasteless, but it wasn't Trump that said it. It wasn't, this guy's not going to be in his cabinet. I mean, this comedian's not going to be a member of his government. He's certainly not running for anything.
Rubio went on to defend Trump's comments about former U.S. Representative Liz Cheney after she endorsed Kamala Harris, where he said she wouldn't be pro-war if she was standing there with nine barrels shooting at her. Rubio said Trump wasn't saying Cheney should face a firing squad, but was instead trying to make the point that so-called war hawks wouldn't be so pro-war if they were placed on the front lines. I'm Mark Mayhew.
Thank you very much, Mark. And a recent home sale in Walton County may set a new record in the panhandle. Engel and Volker's 38 Beaches say they've sold a home in Walton County for more than $10 million. It's in Santa Rosa Beach on East County Highway 30A. The realtor says that's the highest sales price and the highest per square foot in Northwest Florida's history. There's no word on who bought that home. 735 at News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to let you know about, but we're seeing some delay on Avalon Boulevard headed toward I-10 due to an earlier accident. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with a few pop-up showers, 10% chance of rain overall, high near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a 20% chance of rain, high near 79. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 71 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got cloudy skies. It's 73 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Boeing's more than 32,000 striking machinists will vote today for the third time on a contract. The proposal includes 38% raises over the next 4 years. If a simple majority approves the offer, it would end the more than 7-week strike. Consumers are expected to shop big on Travel Tuesday, the first Tuesday after Thanksgiving, which offers discounts on, you guessed it, travel. Search interest for Travel Tuesday rose more than 500% from 2021 to 2023. That's according to McKinsey & Company. Searches are the highest among Americans and Canadians. Starbucks has released a new holiday cup collection as the company prepares for the start of the holiday season. This year's theme, Merrier Together. The coffee chain's holiday menu launches this Thursday. Futures are mixed. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 288, the NASDAQ up 144, and the S&P 500 up 23. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Brayer, your councilwoman for the City of Pensacola, District 1. I am passionate about our community and have made sure our concerns are heard at City Hall. I'm accessible, out walking our neighborhoods and parks, and meeting with citizens to hear concerns about our district. I am always available and ready to listen, respond, and represent. We must continue to have a strong voice, so please re-elect me, your representative for the City of Pensacola. Paid for by re-elect Jennifer Brayer, City of Pensacola, District 1.
Warning. Amendment 4 overturns Florida's parental consent law, so a minor could undergo an abortion without a parent's permission. Doctors can't even prescribe Tylenol without a parent's consent. But with Amendment 4, abortion would become the only medical procedure that can be performed on a minor without a parent's permission. Amendment 4 goes far beyond Roe v. Wade, eliminating reasonable safeguards and forcing taxpayers to fund abortions, even late-term abortions, when science says the baby can feel pain. The Amendment 4 campaign is funded by George Soros and his radical allies, the same people trying to strip away parents' rights and push gender ideology in schools are trying to overturn parental consent on abortion. Amendment 4 isn't about freedom. It's about taking power from parents and giving it to radical leftists. Be warned. Amendment 4 is way too extreme and not what it seems. Sponsored by Truth About Amendment 4.
Hi, everybody. This is Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Santa Rosa County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, and it's not slowing down. Our parks, roads, bridges, and other community amenities have to keep up. I'm urging you to vote yes for the penny sales tax to replace the current half-cent tax. This will fund essential community improvements, enhance our quality of life, better protect our families, and improve public works. Go to SantaRosaYes.com for more information. Paid for by Santa Rosa's Tomorrow, Today.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
I'm Robert Bender, your supervisor of elections. The general election is underway, and now is the time to make sure you have a say in this election. Election day is November 5th, and there are 3 ways you can vote. 1, you can request a vote by mail ballot and return it by mail or leave it in a secure ballot intake station at any early voting site. 2, you can vote early at any one of our 10 area early voting sites from October 21st through November 2nd. And 3, you can vote at your polling place on election day. Whatever you decide, just get out your vote.
For more information, visit escambiavotes.gov or call 850-595-3900.
This November, we have a choice. We can keep the same old politics of division and distraction, or we can choose leadership we can trust. I'm Gay Valamont, and I'm running for Congress to bring us together and focus on what truly matters: our economy, access to health care, and protecting our rights. I won't be distracted by headlines and scandals. I'll be working for you every day. On November 5th, vote for me, Gay Valamont, and let's build a community that works for all of us.
Paid for by Gay Valamont for Congress.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need.
It's easy to sign up for text alerts.
Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
John, the country advocate over here. See all these country songs you're playing? Yeah, because the Rolling Stones didn't sing a lot about corn and soybeans, okay? So, you know, I would play it if I had it. Every month we like to check in with our good friend Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Hey, Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing today?
Oh, man, we're doing great. But more to the point, how are you doing? We know this year was, you know, last year was terrible. This year we've had a lot of adversity, not so much here with the storms. Of course, the rest of Florida, we'll talk about that, but how are you doing at Jenkins Farms?
We're good. We're tired. You know, it's been a long dry spell, which means we've been able to just keep harvest going pretty much 7 days a week since for the last probably 6 or 7 weeks, something like that. So pretty much no days off and come early, stay late every day. But I can tell you we're on record pace. If the weather would stay good this week, we could be finished by the end of the week with our harvest as far as cotton and peanuts. And then all we would like is soybeans. And, you know, a lot of times when we've talked in the past, it's Christmas time before we finish our cotton. So things are really, really rocking along, and I'm very thankful for it.
Now, I know most of this stuff, and always you correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, everything's kind of grown to this point, but still a little bit of moisture helps you get things out of the soil, and, you know, when it's dry, it can be hard and difficult. How has the dryness affected you in harvest season?
It's been a little tough digging peanuts in places, you know, depending on the soil type. The more clay type soils, they get baked almost like pottery, I guess, or something like that. But they get very hard to get the plows into the ground, and it wears out the plow points very fast and those type of things. But, you know, it's still been just almost perfect weather for harvesting peanuts and for cotton. So things, I couldn't be more thankful for the harvest season that we've had so far.
And what about prices and end of the year, kind of where you stand financially? You know, I know you and a lot of folks are farming is not a big profit maker. You know, you do it because you believe in it and you love it and you're, you know, it's a calling. But after last year's terrible results, what are we looking at this year, do you think?
It's looking a little bit better. But one thing, we're having about a bumper crop, a very, very good crop of cotton this year, but unfortunately the prices are very low. So, you know, in years past, if the prices would have been a little bit higher in years past with yields like this, this would be a year where you could pay off some debt or buy a new tractor or something like that with the cotton yields that we're seeing. But unfortunately this year we're basically breaking even making a bumper crop of cotton. So, you know, it's not what we wanted, but it's better than, you know, when we started this season, we were talking to you, we thought for sure we were going to lose money on our crop. And if we'd have had an average crop, we would have lost a lot of money. Now it looks like maybe we'll kind of break even on it, so it won't hurt as bad.
Well, it's not what we've been hoping for, but of course, in the it could always be worse category, it could always be worse. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Hang on for me for just a second, Ryan. Let's get John in here with Traffic on the Fives. John?
We've got one accident to let you know about on North Davis Highway and Blackwell Lane. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Ryan Jenkins, Jenkins Farms. I did want to follow up with you. The last time we had you on last month, we had just had Helene hit, and I think Milton had not yet hit. Have we had any better sense of just how bad those were for particularly Central Florida and Northeast Florida farming?
I don't have specifics, but I have spoken to a lot of people that that live in that area that have gone through that, and it sounds like the losses there are great. You know, it sounds like to them like what a Hurricane Ivan was to us type situation. So they lost a lot of their barns and things like that, lost their crops. Of course, they had multiple hurricanes go through the same place, so the crops are terrible over there, and you know, they're just really in a bad way.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, that same picture is what I had expected and kind of what you had hinted at the last time, but you know, it's sad to hear it confirmed. I did want to ask you something. It's just, you know, tomorrow's the election, obviously, and you know, you and I never really talk politics on the air. That's not the purpose of this interview. But I was always kind of the belief that maybe who's in the White House doesn't matter a whole lot for the farming and agricultural sector because, you know, the farm bill does what it's going to do or subsidies do what they're going to do. I suppose with tariffs, it makes sense that there'd be a big difference and, you know, the way Trump manages that. And, you know, I don't know enough about how what the White House or Congress does related to your life or the life of other farmers matters. And you can feel free to be like, man, I don't want to get into it. That's fine. Totally fine. I understand that. But should people understand, I mean, am I right that it doesn't matter much, that it kind of stays continuous regardless of who's in charge, or does it make a big difference?
You know, I have to be very careful what I say here, but yes, it makes a huge difference who's in office. These last 3.5 years have not been kind to us as farmers in our area at all. We're currently operating outside of a farm bill. They haven't been able to pass a farm bill in a couple of years now. And, you know, that's our safety net for farmers. They do things policy-wise that affect our commodity prices. They use us as leverage. I'm not just talking about the current administration. Any administration, you know, can use farmers for them or against them, or their products that they make for them or against them. And so it makes a huge difference who's in there, what their agendas are. Some are definitely more ag-friendly than others. But I can tell you right now, the policies that we have are not working for the American farmer. The American farmer is in a lot of trouble financially currently. And a lot of it has to do with policies that are coming out of the White House. So, yes, it does make a huge difference. Who's in office.
You know, I keep reading about like automation and the impact that that might have. I also, I guess, I don't know, you know, maybe policies regarding energy and engines. I mean, use diesel engines to run your tractors and stuff. And, you know, various ideas about how that ought to be managed and, you know, whether we're supposed to be converting over to electric vehicles. Is that stuff that affects you at all, or?
It does. It all, you know, and all of it's a big picture, right? So every little bit just chips away at us more and more and more. But yes, they're like some of their green energy policies, you know, they can be against us or work against us. It's just, it's really trying times right now. And I can tell you, farmers have, we have people going to Washington daily, speaking with our lawmakers there, just letting them know that agriculture's in trouble, and if they don't help soon, we're not healthy. We're not in a good position right now. We're beginning to import more than we're exporting on some of our food products, and so, you know, it's kind of rolled into a pretty big snowball now, and we've got to have some help soon.
And look, you know, I know for me, I hate the price at the pump for my own sake, but man, you know, that's an industrial input for you, you know, so I know that, you know, those things make it hard for you as well.
And you know, too, we've spoken here before, and I feel like it's important to say it again. You know, when Joe Blow Citizen goes to the grocery store and his grocery bill is as high as it's ever been, they need to understand none of that trickles down to the farmer. That does not have anything to do with the price that the farmer is getting paid for his commodity. So that, I hope that people understand, you know, just because you see high prices in the grocery store, don't believe that the farmer is getting high prices for his crop that he's produced.
Yeah, weirdly, it's costing us both, right? I have to pay more at the end, and then you have to pay more for all your inputs at the beginning. And somebody, not either of us, is making out. You know, somebody
That's
else.
Right. I want to meet the middleman one day when I grow up.
We always like to, Ryan, we always like to end with a farm fact or something. Do you have something for us this week?
I do. I was picking cotton yesterday, and I started thinking about, you know, not long ago, they were picking cotton by hand. Some countries still pick cotton by hand today, but I was thinking about my grandparents picking cotton by hand. They said that the best people that could pick cotton by hand back then picked between 300 and 400 pounds of seed cotton, you know, cotton straight out of the field. They'd pick between 300 and 400 pounds a day. I did some quick math on the cotton picker I was running yesterday. That machine that I was running picked the same amount that a person used to pick it, the best person that could pick it in a day. I was picking that every 30 seconds yesterday. So there you go. That's what technology will do for you.
You know, it's funny. I always think sometimes people think of technology as bad because it unemploys the cotton picker. I think of technology as great because it does the work of the cotton picker and allows the cotton picker to go be productive doing something else, and we get the net benefit of both in the end. That's, you know, why technology works. It's just, you know, I don't think anybody's ruining the day when we needed humans to pick cotton, or if they are, they're maybe a little bit misunderstanding things. Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, as always, man, thank you for what you do. Thanks for sticking it out, continuing to have a positive attitude and represent the farming community and keep us informed about it, man. I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you so much. Y'all be safe. Everybody get out and vote tomorrow, and we'll see you after Thanksgiving.
And we will eat more peanuts and wear more cotton. 752 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have an air conditioning need, you've got a plumbing need, you've got a heating need, or you've got an electrical need, Peden, they do all of that stuff. It's kind of like that one name for all of it. All the complex, big repair type stuff that you would have inside your home for, you know, major home, not appliances, but, you know, home infrastructure, so to speak. Peden will take care of you for all of that stuff. They have been around for 55 years. They started over in Panama City, and they expanded here to Pensacola, of course, a long time ago, all the way east to Tallahassee, all the way west to Mobile County this year, last year Baldwin County. So they've been gradually growing and growing because, hey, if you do something well and you stand behind your product and you give people a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and, you know, your folks are well-trained and they show up on time and they do the work they're supposed to do, you know, all the things that make a business thrive, they have been doing that. So the growth is evident and the success is evident. And now, for this month in November, you get a free tank water heater, or $1,000 off a tankless water heater whenever you purchase a new AC system. You know, I don't wish you have to replace an AC system, but if you do, well, here you go. There's a nice benefit to it. Also, 10% off MoanFlow. It's a smart water monitor and automatic shutoff sensor to prevent leaks, turning into floods. The sensor automatically shuts off the water flow when it detects abnormal water usage, often the beginning stages of a leak. Flip it on or off and monitor your home from anywhere. So a couple of nice things they're offering during the month of November at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Hi, I'm Kim Klein, and I'm running for the Florida House District 2. Property insurance is killing us, and the best solution my opponent has is a bailout for the insurance companies and making it more difficult for us to sue if they refuse to pay our claims. District 2 needs more than a career politician trying to appease the insurance lobby and his South Florida constituents. You deserve a tireless advocate who works only for you, and that's me. Vote for your party at the national level, but for state and local issues, vote independent. Vote KimKlein.com.
Paid for and approved by Kim Klein, NPA, for Florida House District 2.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4. This holiday season, you can give the gift of hope, stability, and a brighter future. Pensacola Habitat for Humanity is creating lasting change by providing affordable home ownership opportunities right here in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Together, they can change lives for generations to come. Your end-of-the-year gift not only builds homes, it builds hope. And with tax season approaching, it's a gift that gives back to you, too. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org and give today, because everyone deserves a place to call home.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your health care costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions today at 9 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's Councilwoman Tenny Ade Broughton, thanking you for your overwhelming support in electing me 4 years ago. Because of you, we've been able to secure the most funding for District 5, support small business, improve and strengthen our neighborhoods, and enhance the quality of life for everyone. A vote for me will keep District 5 included in the city's prosperity. We've had strong success. Let's do it again. Re-elect me, Tenny Ade Broughton, City of Pensacola, District 5. Thank you.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Tenny Ade Broughton, Pensacola City Council, District 5.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that?
No, Sensei.
No mercy.
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
That's right. We're seeing a wreck on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and just before the Highway 29 exit. It's off to the side of the road, but we're starting to see some delays back up there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, testimony resuming today in the trial of a Long Island Marine veteran that was charged in the subway chokehold death of a homeless black man. Prosecutors believe Daniel Penny putting the man in a chokehold was excessive, and he knew it would result in the man's death. But Penny's attorneys say that man had been threatening other riders, and Penny came to their defense. They blame the man's death on a slow response by first responders.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. And, yeah, we are kind of keeping an eye on this potential tropical cyclone 18. It has not formed yet. The prospect of it forming and heading vaguely northwest over Cuba and then kind of getting into the Gulf and then getting cut up by shear, it looks like it probably won't affect us much. It's kind of headed to our west anyway, but we're just keeping an eye on it just in case because, you know, it is November. It's still hurricane season.